This is the Big E Sports Show
on the Sports Map Radio Network from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios.
Here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Here we go on this Saturday morning, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I am Alyssa Walker Campbell. As always, before we get underway with our 2-hour show, we love to connect with our audience. We are live on Twitter at E-Radio Sports, info at eradiosports.com. You can go back and listen to all of our amazing guests, and we are loaded with some exclusive interviews, podcastarena.com, and download our app at Sports Map Radio Network. It is week 4 of the college football season and week 3 of the NFL, and I'm so excited to have Jack McCraw with me, my producer, in studio. We're ready to go inside the huddle, and since it's a big show, we've got Dallas Cowboy great Pro Football Hall of Famer Cliff Harris will be joining us momentarily, but let's get your thoughts on the Cowboys. What are these early season impressions, and what should our expectations be of the Cowboys? What have you seen?
I think it's happy that we have expectations again, Alyssa. Like, the NFC East is totally up for grabs with no team being better than 1-1, and the only team that's not 1-1 is the New York Football Giants. But the Dallas Cowboys still have a legitimate shot to win this division, and Dak Prescott right now is 6th in the league in passing yards with 640 behind, like, Tom Brady, Herbert, Mahomes, Kyler Murray, and Derek Carr for some reason, over 800 yards. Good season he's having. But back to Cowboys, it's really interesting to see what's going on offensively. Dak is looking really good, has an above 75% completion percentage, and the running game is working without Ezekiel Elliott, which I think is probably the most surprising thing in my opinion, Alyssa.
How about that dramatic win last week against the Los Angeles Chargers?
They were the beneficiary of a really interesting call when Herbert was sacked but never touched the ground, but be that as it may, Greg the Leg Zuerlein totally rebounded and hit that game-winning 50-plus-yard field goal against the Chargers at SoFi Stadium. And it was a great thing to see the Cowboys go toe-to-toe with one of the better offenses in the NFL. It just goes to show that they could pretty much hang their own with anybody after almost beating Tampa and beating the Chargers.
Okay, we're looking forward to the big game between Dallas and the Eagles in Monday Night Football. What do you think the keys will be for Dallas?
I think it's determining how the run game is going to go because, as I alluded to earlier, Elliott hasn't been very effective and Tony Pollard has stepped up. But if Ezekiel Elliott can get the ball and get the ball running well against the Eagles, who don't really have expectations, Cowboys could easily be 2-1 after Monday night.
It is week 3 of the NFL season. We are set and ready at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Stick around because we're going to be talking about the 43rd Ryder Cup, an exclusive interview with Dr. Bob Rotella right after this quick timeout.
Is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker Campbell. We love to engage with our audience. We have many different platforms, always live on Twitter at eradiosports, info at eradiosports.com, podcastarena.com, and you can download our app for the very best in sports programming. That is Sports Map Radio. And when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, and they'll even bring it out to you curbside. They make it so easy. Or you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts quickly. O'ReillyAuto.com. Well, as promised, in our next segment, it is time to go inside the ropes. We're going to highlight the 43rd Ryder Cup. It is underway at Whistling Straits. And we are thrilled to have back with us. He is America's premier sports psychologist, best-selling author of a dozen books, and we're going to shine the spotlight on Dr. Bob Rotella's latest release. It is titled Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot, The Secret to Playing Great Golf. Good morning, Dr. Rotella. I trust all is well with you and your family. How are you?
Everything's great, Alyssa. Great being with you.
Well, before we highlight your new book, as I just mentioned, the 43rd Ryder Cup, it is finally here. We love team competition. And I'm sure, Dr. Rotella, through the years, you have had a chance to attend some big-time sporting events. So where do you rank the Ryder Cup? I mean, the atmosphere, it's electric.
You know, the Ryder Cup is the great one. I mean, I've been to Super Bowls and working with teams. I've been to the Final Four with teams, and I've been to the Ryder Cup, you know, for the last 40 years. And it's pretty amazing. I'd say the first tee at the Ryder Cup, I'd say the first tee in France was the greatest grandstands I've ever seen at a Ryder Cup. Hazeltine was pretty fantastic, but I'd say France was the biggest. This year's Whistling Straits is pretty impressive, too. But I think people, what's different is people get into America and playing for your country.
Mm-hmm.
And that makes it pretty interesting for the fans and for the players in terms of producing energy and enthusiasm. And, you know, sometimes a lot of pressure. But I think the players love, you know, basically their individual sport athletes most of their life. And this is one of a couple weeks during their life that they get to play on the Ryder Cup team and really bond as a team. And as a result, in team meetings, they end up sharing a lot of stuff with each other that they don't normally get to do. And they hear great teammates talk about whatever they want to talk about relative to getting ready to play great. And I think that's part of what they love.
You are listening to The Familiar Voice. Dr. Bob Rotella is our very special guest at SportsMap Radio Network. Here in just a moment, we're going to highlight his latest release. But as a leading sports psychologist, I mean, there has been just so much anticipation for the 2021 Ryder Cup. How do you advise players on managing their emotions, especially for that opening tee shot?
Well, number one, I mean, you spend a lot of time with these guys on getting a really good mental process and physical process that they're going to do on every shot.
Mm-hmm.
We teach them all to, if zero was asleep and 10 was intense, most of them are somewhere at their best when they're like a 3 or 4. So it's closer to being really relaxed than it is being really intense. The other thing I'd say is you learn in golf that the better you play, the bigger the moment, the more important the moment, the more likely you are to have a lot of adrenaline and butterflies going on inside your body. Your arms are likely to be shaking a little bit. Mm-hmm. Your heart's beating like crazy. Your throat is dry. And you learn to not think. I mean, everyone plays their best when they just go through their process and see it and do it. And I think what really good players will tell you, they actually end up hitting the ball further and straighter when they got a lot of butterflies going because they can't think. And it ends up actually helping them. I think people who don't get it get distracted by being nervous and think there's something wrong with them. And I think the great players have felt that way enough times that they learn this is just what gets me to a whole nother level.
Well, it's not easy to manage, as you're talking about, that adrenaline and that energy as a player. You want to be able to flourish under pressure. And, you know, take us through the process as far as getting the clients that you work with on being comfortable in an uncomfortable setting, and especially when you have a big-time stage like the Ryder Cup.
Well, you know, it's interesting what you just said, comfortable and uncomfortable setting. I think most of these players, This is what's comfortable to them. I mean, they've been there enough, they've trained their whole life to be in a situation that makes it feel pretty special, and they love that feeling. They love having the everything in their body, you know, getting excited. I think what you have to decide at the Ryder Cup is, are you going to go to the first tee and go crazy getting the fans wired up, waving your arms and getting them to go crazy? And I think that's a decision you make days in advance. I mean, you really decide, is this good for me or is this bad for me? Is this going to help me? Is it going to hurt me? But they all spend so many days and months, once they're selected, visualizing that scene. And they've seen it in their mind's eye a million times. And part of it is they've not only seen the crowd and the noise, but they've really seen how they're going to react to it. They're seeing themselves do their routine. They're seeing themselves calm their body to the best of their ability. And they just learn to go through the routine and let it go. And if you go back to previous years, it's just amazing how good guys usually hit it off the first tee. It's not as uncomfortable to them as it is to someone who's never been in that situation. Now, some people will say, well, we've got 6 rookies this year, but all of those rookies have been in positions to win. They've been in majors. They've been in a lot of moments like this, and it's actually what they get pretty comfortable with. And, you know, it's all in the training. And, you know, that's why I like a lot of players are on both teams. I work with players on both teams, and, I mean, they've been training for this their whole life. I mean, that's a lot of the interest to it. You know, it probably, like, if you put some of them trying to do your radio show, they might be very uncomfortable and not feel very good or very confident doing it. You know, it's kind of like the way you feel when you're doing your radio show. I mean, probably the bigger the name guest, probably the better you are, because it's going to be really good. And that's kind of how they feel when they go for the Ryder Cup.
That's right. The biggest and the best in sports. We always deliver at Sports Map Radio Network. You bet. Dr. Bob Rotella, he is America's premier sports psychologist. He has just released his new book, Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot. But before we go into that, I mean, give us some techniques. I mean, when that adrenaline, that juice hits you, how do you? I mean, is there a breathing technique that you could share with our audience? What do you do to calm yourself down and to center yourself before you hit that first shot?
Well, I would say that every great athlete has learned to take, you know, deep breaths, probably down into their stomach, pretty deep, which is part of the routine. But I would say, ultimately, it's knowing I know I'm going to have my mind very quiet, and I'm only going to have eyes and a mind for where I want the ball to go. So it's kind of like laser vision or like a horse with blinders on, where nothing else in the world exists where I want the ball to go. And then you just let your training take over. In other words, the swing just happens. In other words, instead of trying to make a swing that's correct or perfect, they say, you know what, I've done all my training. Now it's time to just see my shot and hit my shot. And it's a very unconscious process. They've done it a lot of times. And if they're not feeling comfortable with a driver on that tee from the practice rounds, they're going to hit a three-wood or a hybrid or a driving iron. But they all have a driver in some other club that they're really good with. And for some players, they hit their driver better than any other club. And there's other players that have a fairway wood or hybrid or iron that they can just use in the most important situation. And so it's a lot of it is the visualization. It's like a deja vu experience. Like, I've been here a million times. I've seen it in my mind over and over and over again. And that's a big part of why they're able to stay calm, because, you know, in their mind, when they're visualizing it, it's like they're actually there. In other words, they're not visualizing and just going through the motions. They're visualizing the sounds of the crowd, the excitement in their body. I mean, they're doing everything they can to make it as real as it's going to be on the day they're there. So it's like I already know what this is going to be like. I've experienced it. I've prepared for it. And this isn't shocking to me. This isn't surprising. In other words, they're not showing up on the first tee and going, oh, my God, I had no idea I'd be feeling like this. You know, it's like they're prepared for it. And there's a process that they've done in practice and in competition thousands of times that helps it become more normal.
You know, exercising those mental muscles, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but, I mean, how much time should you spend daily, we're talking about the game of golf, to, you know, recreate, simulate that game time environment?
Well, there's not a rule for it, but I would say most great athletes are spending anywhere from 15, 20 minutes to a half an hour to 40 minutes a day.
Okay.
Rehearsing. And, you know, my rule is basically if you're going to think about golf, think about what you want and think about hitting great shots and making putts, or don't think about it. In other words, when you're getting ready for the Ryder Cup, you're visualizing yourself playing great and hitting shots and making putts, because that's the only thing you control. It's like, I'm going to take control over the thing that I have control over. I'm going to stop trying to control things I don't have control over. Mm-hmm. And what you can control is your mind and your body. And what athletes learn in golf is, if I can get my mind in the right place, my body will respond to that. And, you know, so they spend quite a bit of time on it. What you have to do is eliminate negative rehearsal. In other words, some athletes spend hours every day worrying about playing bad. Yeah. Or, like, if you're worried about, you know, copying your first tee shot at the Ryder Cup or something.
Oh,
so, I mean, it's like, if you're going to think about it, think about hitting a great shot. Don't think about the other. And the example I use, I said, like, you wouldn't get ready, you know, for the Ryder Cup by practicing hitting balls out of bounds on the range. Well, don't practice thinking about hitting it out of bounds on the range. So it's very similar. That think about what you want. Practice what you want to have happen. And on the other hand, prepare that no matter where it goes, you're going to go accept it and go find it. It's kind of where the title of the new book comes from, Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot. What that really means is no matter where you hit it, accept it and go get it and go find it and go get the ball in the hole. And people will say, well, how am I supposed to accept it? You know, like, let's say you don't hit a great tee shot on the first tee.
Right.
How am I supposed to accept it? I wanted so badly to hit a good drive on the first tee with all those people watching and everyone in the world watching on television. It's like, well, first of all, we're going to stay cool and calm because we've got a great ability to go score regardless of where we hit it. So that's where your ball is. Now let's go. It's just going to make it look even more impressive if you make birdie from the rough. You know, so, I mean, you prepare for greatness, but part of greatness is being able to score regardless of how you're hitting it. Like, everyone would like to be pure in it the week of the Ryder Cup. I mean, that would be everyone's dream. But they all know from playing golf that, you know, maybe 60% of the time you might be hitting it somewhere near the way you ideally can hit it. And the guys in the Ryder Cup teams are on the team because they can score even when they're not hitting it good. And so that's a big part of the game. And so it's not all about puring it. You know, it's about, can I score? But to give it your best chance, let's at least get our head in the right place on every shot.
Our conversation continues with America's premier sports psychologist, Dr. Bob Rotella, after this quick break. Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Let's go inside the ropes with Dr. Bob Rotella. It was interesting listening to Ian Poulter's press conference this week, and he kind of talked about what you're sharing as far as that single-minded focus at your target. You're aggressively going at each target, and you're not playing the what-if game.
Yeah, that's right out of one of my earlier books.
Yeah.
I said, I want you to have a conservative strategy
right.
with a cocky, aggressive swing. And so, I mean, you don't have to always be hitting driver. You don't have to always shoot at the flag. But whatever your target is, have nothing else in the world exist and swing freely with confidence on it. And so, I mean, you know, I think in one of my books I said it's more important to be decisive than it is to be correct. So at least make up your mind and totally commit to the shot you're playing. And then you can live with it.
That's right. Hey, Dr. Bob Rotella is our very special guest. Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. Join us online at eRadio Sports. We're on Twitter. His latest release is Make Your Next Shot Your Best Shot, The Secret to Playing Great Golf. And so interesting, Padraig Harrington is one of your longtime clients, the European Ryder Cup captain. So what can you share about his leadership style? I mean, you guys have had a 20-year journey together, which is really fascinating. So share a little bit about Padraig Harrington.
Well, first of all, I would say he has one of the most upbeat attitudes of anyone you're ever going to meet. You can't be more in love with golf. And when I say that, I think what's special about Padraig is he loves golf regardless of what he shoots
okay.
or how he plays. He just loves golf. And he has good days, and he has days when it's not so good, but he can't wait to get back out practicing and get ready for the next day. And I think that's his endearing quality. I think he's been dreaming about being Ryder Cup captain, you know, forever. And I'm, you know, I just know Padraig, and I've talked to him a lot. He's going to believe in his team, and the guys are going to love being around him because he's not going to overcoach them, but he's going to think about everything. You know, like them on Wednesday showing up with cheeseheads and
That's
dressed
right.
up in the Green Bay Packers.
Pretty creative.
Colors. I thought that was, that was brilliant.
Yes.
Just to get the fans on their side a little bit. You know, not that they're all going to be going nuts cheering for him, but it was a way of making some peace and friends with the fans, which I thought was very clever. And, you know, that'd be typical of him. He's going to think about it a lot. And he's got a bunch of guys that he's going to believe in, and he's going to have fun with it. And, you know, I think what they really love is the competition. It's funny. I mean, I think we go nuts over winning or losing. Don't get me wrong. Both teams would love to win, you know, because you go and do corporate outings everywhere you go for the next 2 years. Someone's going to either introduce you as the winning Ryder Cup captain or the losing Ryder Cup captain. And you're going to have all these beautiful bags and clothing at your house, which are much more meaningful when you win, when everyone
right.
wants to ask about it. But I think they all want to be a part of the team, and they want to, they'll never forget the competition. And, you know, it's interesting. After it's all over, having been in the locker room for many of them, I mean, teams get together afterwards and party together and celebrate together. And, you know, because they're all friends. I mean, let's face it.
Yeah.
Most of the European players live in America. But when they're competing, they're trying to kick the other people's butt, that's for sure. But, I mean, Podrick is, you know, he'll do a great job, and so won't Steve Stricker. You know, you couldn't have two more down-to-earth good people. I mean, they're both kind of plain vanilla. You know, I could take Podrick out to dinner with anybody, and he's going to just talk up a storm the whole night. And, I mean, I don't think you can find anybody that would ever say anything but really nice things about Steve Stricker. And yet, when they get on the golf course, they're really good competitors. So, you know, I think it'll end up being a great competition.
Dr. Bob Rotella with us just a few more minutes at Sports Map Radio Network. So interesting as we talk about the 43rd Ryder Cup, the role of the captain, Padraig Harrington, Steve Stricker. So, you know, golf is an individual sport. I mean, how do you get these guys on the same page and build a team? I mean, you've got to accelerate everybody playing for each other and for their country.
Yeah, well, the number one thing, you know, I've told teams and I've talked to Padraig about it, and American teams as well, is what you just said is the real issue. They've spent their whole life, everything's about them. Their mom, their dad, their friends, their girlfriends, their spouses, it's all about their guy. And all of a sudden this week, you don't get the dream role on the team that you've always dreamt about. You don't get the dream pairing. You don't get the dream matchup. Mm-hmm. You don't get to play as much as you want. And what ends up happening is you get a lot of text messages, emails from all those people who love you that, oh, God, you're getting a raw deal. You should be playing more. You should be in this spot versus that. And you've got to be able to tell all of your family and friends, look, this week isn't about me. It's about the team. And the only thing that matters is we win. Well, on top of it, they keep individual stats on the Ryder Cup. And you have to get your whole team to not care about individual stats. And so the phrase I use with the teams is you've got to get the team to star in your role. In other words, whatever role you're given as a player on the team, we don't want you to just accept the role. Mm-hmm. We want you to star in it, which means I want you to do this role better than anyone's ever done it in history. And if we do that, then we give our team the best chance of winning. And if the team wins, it isn't going to really matter if you lost all your matches. Now, the second thing is you remind the players, usually it's all about you. This week, you could play great or you could play mediocre, and you got teammates that can carry your buns and save you and make you look good. Because, I mean, so you can have a lot of years and still win.
Yeah.
So, I mean, that's a big part of it. And, you know, it's just, I think a lot of it, when you're selecting players, you know, certainly when you're picking players, that ends up being a really important factor. Are they really team-oriented guys? Are they going to be people who care about each other and will play with anybody that you're asked to play with? And, you know, that's a big piece of it.
We are up against the clock. Dr. Bob Rotella's latest release, a must-read. Go out and get a copy. Make your next shot your best shot. The Secret to Playing Great Golf. We've got 60 seconds. And, you know, through the years I've had a chance to interview you. You have produced so many wonderful books on golf and performance. Just for you personally, I mean, how gratifying is it to see the impact you are having with the game and with the players? I mean, that's got to bring you just joy and satisfaction, right?
Yeah, it's brought, you know, a lifetime of joy. You know, I'm a kid who grew up in a small town in Vermont. And I've gotten to do so. It's funny, I spend so much of my work is about helping people with their dreams. And I don't think about mine very often, but I tell people when they ask me, I say, well, I've certainly got to do things that are way beyond my childhood dreams, that's for sure. And I'm hoping I get to help a lot more people, you know, live beyond their wildest dreams, because, you know, that's what I get a kick out of.
Amazing. And you always talk about dreaming big dreams. Make your next shot your best shot. The Secret to Playing Great Golf. We love him. Dr. Bob Rotella, continued success. And hopefully we can catch up with you before the holidays, because we want everybody to get a copy of this in their stocking. Okay? Thank you so much.
Beautiful, Alyssa. Great talking with you. Have a great year.
Yes. Much more coming your way at Sports Map Radio Network. We will be right back in Hour 1.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Saturday morning Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. We love our audience and our listeners and hearing from all of you. We are live on Twitter, @eradiosportsinfo. EddieRadioSports.com, PodcastArena.com, and you want the best in sports programming, we make it so easy. Just download our app, Sports Map Radio, and perhaps when you need auto parts, O'ReillyAuto.com is just a few clicks away. They offer convenient options for you to get your parts quickly. You can order online at O'ReillyAuto.com and pick up for free at your local O'Reilly Auto Parts store, and they'll even bring it out to you curbside. They make it so easy. So you can choose to have your parts delivered right to your door with free shipping on most orders over $35. Get your auto parts today. O'ReillyAuto.com. Well, it is week three of the NFL season. Can you believe it? And right now we're going to head over to the NFC East and we're going to highlight my team, and that is the Dallas Cowboys, who will host on Monday night the Philadelphia Eagles. Both teams with similar records at 1-1, 8:15 Eastern Time kickoff on ESPN. And I tell you what, it is going to be a really special night because Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris, Jimmy Johnson, and Drew Pearson, they are going to receive their Pro Football Hall of Fame rings at Dallas's first home game of the season against the Philadelphia Eagles. And we are thrilled to have with us this morning, that is Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris. And it is truly, Cliff, it's been such a special year. I mean, the wait is over, and we wanted to extend this invitation to congratulate you on your incredible achievement and highlight just those years of dominance at the safety position and having a winning record all 10 years in the NFL. So it's official. You're a Pro Football Hall of Famer. How does it feel, my friend?
Well, it's just incredible, Alyssa. One, I just can't. We were talking about how long we've been visiting. It's been such a long time. And it's been a long time waiting, but it was just an incredible incredible thing that happened in Canton. You were there, and it was more really than I imagined. You know, I had to wait 2 years for it. Mm-hmm. So the excitement from the first year kind of diminished some from the, you know, from the action that was, you know, that had happened then that year. And if I'd gone in that year, I know that it really had peaked and had been great. Well, kind of fell off, and then all of a sudden it started building back up and was really big excitement mm-hmm. in the second year when we actually had the induction.
You're listening to the voice, Dallas Cowboy great Pro Football Hall of Famer Cliff Harris is with us. And you mentioned, of course, that I was there, my family. And I just have to say, you know, it was such an honor, but inspiring to hear your story about how you became a legend and your keys to success. So that's where I really want you to just open up and pull back the curtain. I mean, how did a small town kid from Arkadelphia, Arkansas, make it to 5 Super Bowls as a former D2 recruit and on to the Hall of Fame? You got to share your story, Cliff.
Well, I can tell you, Alyssa, it wasn't. I mean, an easy trip. I mean, but the thing that I think that was most significant for me when I first came out to Thousand Oaks, California, from, you know, Arkadelphia, Arkansas, at Washtenaw Baptist. And there were 120 other rookies out there. It was a strike year for the NFL, and Gil Brandt, who found me in Washington, that our director of player personnel, you know, brought out all these rookies because he knew it was going to be a strike year and a longer period of time at training camp, so not to waste that time and run through a whole lot of rookies. And so we played 6 rookie games out on the coast out there against the Chargers and the Rams, the Raiders, they were all on the coast then. And it really gave the coaches a chance to see the players in quote game conditions. And I started out as a cornerback, and they ended up veterans came in, and they cut half the rookies, and then we trained out there and then had our first preseason game, my first pro game. It was the first one I'd seen live and I was the only rookie starter on defense, mm-hmm. and I started at right corner, and playing in the San Diego Stadium, it was a lot different than the Washington Baptist Stadium that is now the Cliff Harris Stadium in Washington.
Wow.
But I just took one step at a time and knew that, you know, I just tried to hang in there and made the trip back to Dallas from training camp, and more rookies were cut. And then the day, and we played several preseason games in Dallas, and then the day before or the week before our first season game, Coach Landry announced that I was the starting free safety for the Dallas Cowboys, the only rookie starter. And, man, I knew that it was just, you know, hanging in there and fighting the battle every day and trying to and to compete as best I could and do the best I could. And I think that, you know, Gil Brandt found me in, you know, the hills of Arkansas, and I'm glad that he did. And that Coach Landry knew that I got his system. He had the Landry flex defense, and, man, I got it. I knew how to make it, how it worked and how to make it work better. And I think that was the biggest edge that I had.
Pro Football Hall of Famer Cliff Harris is our very special guest this morning at Sports Map Radio Network, the Big East Sports Show. He's sharing about how slim the chances were for him to make it to the NFL, and it was announced that you were going to be a starter as a rookie. I just have to wonder, that first phone call to your dad, what was that like? It had to be emotional.
Well, it really was. I mean, you know, the time was a blur, you know, and I mean, because it was just meeting one challenge after the next and after the next and after the next. And then my dad, who was a fighter pilot, a P-38, was a World War II fighter pilot, was shot down in the South Pacific and paddled to the only American paddle island in the South Pacific.
Wow.
Or I wouldn't have been around today. But he was tough. He had diabetes. They found that he had had diabetes when he took his physical to become a jet test pilot, and they washed him out of the Air Force. And I really had a close relationship with him. I'm on the board of JDRF, Juvenile Diabetes Research Foundation, and I, you know, support. I have a big golf tournament that, you know, you've supported me for years with. And but he was tough, and he was a guy that was quiet and not, you know, overly wordy, and but he was really proud of me, and I knew, and I fought the battle. I mean, I fought a battle for him. That's what I was doing.
Was he the one single person that had the greatest impact on your life, on and off the field? Because I listened to you talk about, you know, your grit, your determination. Your dad was a fighter. Like, did that come from him?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, he was a fighter, and he fought hard on that battle of diabetes, and he lost his vision, and he never, you never would have thought, he was not bitter, and he hung in there and fought, and he lost him to it. And I, you know, and he talked to me subtly about toughness and mental toughness and determination, and because he exuded all of those factors himself, and so he was my, you know, my role model. I owe a lot to him. My mother was pretty tough too. I think that's what I think I got. I have a younger sister, who was faster than me.
Yeah.
2 years younger than me, faster than me growing up, and taller than me. So she was had a big impact. I had to learn to beat her before I could beat the guys.
Uh-huh. That's great. Hey, Cliff Harris is our special guest, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. And as I understand, like, when you begin your NFL career, you also were serving in the National Guard. Is that true?
Yes. You know, that was an era of Vietnam, and it was closing down. I mean, Vietnam War was just ending at that time, and I was in a National Guard unit, Army Reserve National Guard, My unit was called up to go to active duty, and I had to go to basic training in Fort Polk, Louisiana. So I would, and Gil Brandt worked it out with the Army, and that I could fly back on weekends. So I was a platoon leader during the week in Fort Polk in the Army, and then on the weekends I'd fly back in and play in the games. I didn't start. I was Charlie Waters took my spot after in the mid season, but I played in the games. I was, you know, kick returner, punt returner, one of the other DBs that were playing, but I got my spot back in the beginning of the next year. Mm-hmm. and kept it, you know. So, I mean, that itself was a great challenge, to make a free agent making the team and then having to leave in the middle of the season and to come back and compete again.
You know, and you had the opportunity, Cliff, to play for the great Tom Landry, truly among the greatest of all of coaches when we think about of all time. So what do you think of Coach Landry? What was his most significant contribution to the game?
Well, I think one of the things that, you know, was he was a very intense guy, not a guy full of humor and a lot of emotion, but he knew the players that got his system and players that could relate to him as a coach. And I was one of those guys, and he knew that. And he had a great intensity, but you just, you know, you didn't see it. You know, it was not external. It was, and I knew it. And he knew the guys that would relate to his style of coaching, which was subtle coaching and not the screaming and yelling. And man, I got it. And he was wise enough, and that's why he surrounded himself with players and coaches that understood him and would also relate to him and relate to his style. And that's the trait of any successful coach or person, mm-hmm. surrounding themselves with people that that you know that you can get them to perform at peak levels and in your style. And that's what he did. He was a brilliant man, and the flex defense allowed me to do things that safeties weren't doing at that time. Free safeties back in when I started, the Cowboys were playing three deep. I mean, a big free safety was a guy that right. stayed deep and didn't attack the line of scrimmage. Well, because of the design of the flex defense and specific areas that I had to cover, I know it's that allowed me the flexibility and the freedom. If I could cover that area and go up and make the tackle, I'd do it. So I attacked the line of scrimmage a lot. And Coach Landry told me one time, Cliff, you know, it's not your responsibility to make the tackle, uh-huh. but your responsibility is to cover this outside area for Mel Renfro over here. Yeah. He said, you know, we don't want you to get beat. You understand that? Yeah. I said, yes, sir.
Yes,
I knew
sir.
What he was saying.
Our exclusive conversation with Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris continues after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on the Sports Map Radio Network. From the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, Sports Map Radio Network, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to continue our conversation with Pro Football Hall of Famer and Dallas Cowboy great Cliff Harris. We're 3 weeks into the season, so give us a quick hit, Cliff. I mean, does Dallas look like an improved team, and how should we feel about the Cowboys? I mean, what should our expectations be this season?
Well, I really like – I'm so glad to see Dak back full speed. I say full speed. I don't know if he's full speed yet or not, but he really performed well last week. And I know that we've got to find a way to unleash Zeke. He has so much potential, And I think that we're going to find that. And we've got great receivers. I mean, my goodness gracious. And great. I mean, we've just got a really good offense. I think the defense, you know, Dan Quinn, he's got a good plan in a more aggressive style of coaching than former years. And boy, we've really got some playmakers on defense that I know that the more that we get this experience under our belt and play as a team and play within this new system, it's going to get better and better and better. Mm-hmm. And so I'm very optimistic about this year. I'm very excited about the Eagles game coming up and getting my ring at halftime. We're going to win.
That's right. We're going to win. And we will definitely be watching. Of course, Dallas did win in dramatic fashion last week against the Chargers.